Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me get your attention right here on the board here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off or silent position. Amen. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus Came for the Sick. Jesus came for the sick. And we're going to continue in the book of Mark, chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 13 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark 2, 13. And read with me as we get into this word. Here we go. And it reads, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them, and he passed by. And he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Verse 15. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, they said to the disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? Uh-oh. Here's the religious folks again, huh? Verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Hallelujah. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Did you catch that? He didn't come for righteous folks. He came for those who were sick, mind, body, and soul. Especially the spiritual man. I passed out Pastor Rod, Sister Marietta, for those of you who've never seen them before. And one of the things that Pastor Rod would always be praying for us, that God would touch a heart. And one of the messages that I gave about hope beyond the grave, I use that message a lot during celebration of life, is that I always share that there's three types of death and three types of life. And I won't go into the whole entire teaching on that. But when we come into this world, when we are formed in our mother's womb, we're physically alive, but when we come out, we're spiritually dead. And until Jesus comes into your life, somewhere down the years, you're going to be dead in your spirit. But when Jesus comes, you'll be alive unto him. You're here because of his birth in you. You've been born again, a second time. Amen? And that's why self-righteous people, sinners, those who are religious, do not have a relationship with the Lord. They've never been born again. So they grew up maybe in Sunday school. Maybe their parents were pastors. Maybe they grew up in a Christian home. But until you come into that covenant relationship, being born again and repenting of your sins, that's when God will wash you in the blood, then fill you with this Holy Spirit, and now you have entered into a blood covenant with them, and now you are washed in the blood, saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a true transformation that takes place on the inside. It's an inside job, not an outside. We can play the part, and there's a lot of folks that play the part. But you could only play the part for so long till you get home. And there are those who come home, man, curse like a sailor, kick a dog, chew out the wife, and have no regard for it. Why? Because they've never been born again. But they came religiously, praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah, how you doing? And so, Jesus didn't come for those righteous folks. He came for those, man, who were desperate of God, who needed God, who needed a healing, who needed to be born again, who wanted to touch the hem of his garment. And they flocked, they pressed, they wanted more than their meager life. They wanted to experience the joy that many of them have already shared with them. You see, it was word of mouth. There was no social media. There wasn't Facebook. There wasn't people on their phones like this all day long. It was word of mouth. Earlier, we sang that song by Brandon Lake about tearing off the roof. They tore off that roof. Why? To drop their friend down. Because they knew that only Jesus could touch their friend. And so let's break this down and see where God will lead us. Amen. Let's start with verse 13. Here we go. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him. And he what? He taught them. But it says he went out again by the sea. Where was he at the time? We're picking up from the last time I was here. What town was he always ministering to? Some of us who went on that Israel trip know the town. Capernaum. He was in Capernaum. So Jesus left Capernaum and went back to the lake shore that is the Sea of Galilee. Now, I want you to look at this for a moment. Remember we talked about it last week? I want us to get a little closer look, or the week before. Three towns that Jesus cursed were Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. He cursed them. Did you know that they're still cursed today? There's no life there. They're outdoor museums. When I went for the first time, and our tour guide, Ito, revelation hit me. Go, oh my gosh, these towns are still cursed. Outside of these little places, it's a thriving towns. In Tiberias and many of the towns at the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful place. If you like, parasailing and water skiing, and they got water parks, and you could swim in there, and it's like a giant swimming pool, but it's so massive. It's an ocean, fresh water. It's gorgeous, beautiful, and there's 5-star hotels they build on the shores of them. Oh, they're beautiful. So beautiful. Man, you have to go. But these places, they're dead. And so these cities on the Sea of Galilee experienced significant portions of Jesus' ministry. And he performed many, 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 many miracles there. Yet, out of all the miracles that he did there, the reason why he cursed those towns, because none of them wanted to repent. They were there for the circus. They were there for the sideshow. But they didn't want to enter into that blood covenant with him. They didn't want to enter in. They didn't want to surrender. They didn't want to say, oh God, forgive me. You see, their rejection meant that their faith would be more bearable than that of the wicked cities of Tyre and Sidon. Did you know that Jesus said that he would have mercy? He would rather have mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah, which was so wicked, than these cities that walked in unbelief. They did not want to believe anything he did. Wow. So, let's look at Chorazin. That's what it looks like today. That's Chorazin. Do you see any life there? It's ruins. You pay a couple of shekels just to walk around the grounds. They got a groundkeeper. They go, yeah, this is Chorazin. This is Bethsaida. No life. Still cursed. Let me just say this. If Jesus curses something, it remains cursed. Can I get an amen? And then when we come up to the town of Capernaum, this is the entrance to Capernaum. You gave a couple of shekels right there at the gate. You drop them in. Then you come to that.
We were there.
Yeah. That's Capernaum. So, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, all cursed. Why? Why are these towns cursed? I'm just sharing with you guys. It's because they had unrepentant hearts. The people in these cities saw Jesus' miracles. They heard his teachings, but they did not change their minds, or they did not turn to God. They were faithless. They were faithless. We need to be a people of hope. Can I get an amen? We need to be a people that walk in faith and not by sight. We need to approach things in life that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. When Brother Felipe and I drove all the way to East LA, we didn't go there just to meet people. We went there knowing that God was going to meet us there and that he was going to do a miracle. Can I get amen? You got to have that type of faith that God's using you for such a time as this. Just look at this. Familiarity and judgment. Jesus notes that if the miracles he performed in these cities had been done in other, more wicked cities than these cities would have repented. In other words, if God would have showed up in all these other cities that were just as wicked or worse, what God is saying is they would have repented. Oh, yeah, they would have repented. Are you sure about that? Where do you find that in the Word? In the book of Matthew, let's go there. Look at this, Matthew 11:20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. So Jesus started rebuking them. Look at this. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, those folks would have repented. But Chorazin and Bethsaida, they wouldn't. Or Capernaum. Look at this. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. In other words, that old town is going to go to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. In other words, they would have repented if Jesus showed up on the scene. Wow, look at this, verse 20. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the Lamb of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So when you go there, it's nothing but brick and dirt, old rubble, nothing left of it. Wow. And so, what was the outcome of the curse? Destruction and ruins. So today the ruins of Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum lie as archaeological sites, a testament to God's judgment. This is why we need to be praying for this nation. Can I get an amen? Let me just say this. When we get raptured out of here, the judgment is coming. Because we're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get an amen? Next month, on the Feast of Trumpets, we could be gone. We don't know what year, but we're going to be gone on the Feast of Trumpets. That's the next feast that will be fulfilled. The first four, for those of you that don't know about the Feast of the Lord, the first four have been fulfilled. Jesus died on Passover. They buried him in the tomb. He had no sin. So that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven is a type of sin. So they eat unleavened bread, meaning they eat bread without any yeast. Yeast is the type of sin. On the third day, he rose again on the Feast of First Fruits. He's the first to rise from the dead. 49 days later, on the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. If the Holy Ghost wasn't poured out 2,000 years ago, you and I wouldn't be here today. And the Holy Ghost is poured out. Remember I showed you where we are now on the chart? We're in the dispensation of grace, the final. We're in the end of the church age. Then the rapture, and then the tribulation for 7 years. But we won't be here. We're going to be with Jesus. Can I get an amen? We're going to be celebrating. What are we going to be celebrating? Why is he taking us up? We are going to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. In other words, he's going to consummate us, the bride. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself this? That Jesus loves his church. He loves his bride. Here's for the post-tribulation guys. They believe that, oh, the church is going to go through. Really? We're going to go through the tribulation? Why would he want to slap his wife up and down the street, give her a black eye, blue eye, even just beat her to death, and then come up here now, we're going to consummate our wedding vows? Does that make any sense? Would you do that to your fiance? No. He's going to take his bride home, and then he's going to pour out the wrath. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it as politely as I can. For those who are left behind, did you see that? Did you see the archaeological stubble? The bricks that were left in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum? God's not going to have no mercy anywhere. 70 million babies aborted in our land. Plus, and counting. There's still Planned Parenthoods everywhere. Still killing babies. The blood is crying from the ground. It's crying out. Remember when God said to Abel, he said to Cain, where's your brother? I'm not my brother's keeper. God said, his blood is crying from the ground. You heard me bring that message about the land, huh? God is going to throw out, he's going to vomit out the inhabitants of anyone's land if they continue in wickedness. And it's pretty wicked right now. They haven't stopped killing babies. It's not a political thing. This is a spiritual thing. Pray for our nation. Listen, you got family members that don't know Jesus? When we're gone, it's going to be too late for them. They're going to go through the tribulation. And the Bible said that there's going to be one earthquake during the tribulation where the whole world is going to rock like this. And everyone on the planet is going to feel like a drunken person. So drunk. How many of you get dizzy when you go around a little merry-go-round? Or remember the playground where you just keep spinning? You held on, they kept spinning you? Or the teacups at Disneyland? You know, they just spin and you get off and you feel like you need to vomit, right? The whole world is going to rock like a drunkard in this earthquake, and all the buildings, the Bible says in Revelation, are all going to collapse around the world. Everything that's upright is going to collapse. That's why people are going to cry out, "Oh God, just have the rocks fall on me." It's going to be that horrific. Things will change. Things won't be like this no more. This is why you got to get right or get left. If you're watching right now, it's time to get right or get left. This is not a political thing. This is getting right with God or get left behind. Right. Can I get an amen? I'm just trying to help somebody. If you can't preach this, then why are you preaching? People need to hear that they can be saved. That there's hope for them. There's hope in Christ. Jesus is our bomb shelter. Can I get an amen? Just imagine if Russia and China teamed up and started dropping nukes on us. Let me ask you this. Where is our bomb shelter? You know, Russia, they went through 6 months of drills. They all have bomb shelters in Russia. Their whole nation can go into bunkers and save their people from a nuclear fallout. Where's ours? What do we got? The bed? Just hide up. The closet? Oh, just go in the bathroom and cover yourself in the tub. Man, we will be burnt toast in seconds. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. And so, contrast with other cities. Neighboring cities like Tiberias, Cana, which were not cursed, remain well populated. As I mentioned, man, there's places in Tiberias. We love going there. Oh my gosh, these hotels are 5-star. They got swimming pools, and then you could go from the swimming pool and just from the edge of their swimming pool, you walk up several steps and you could dive into the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it's like, wow, this is like, and we had communion one time out there, right there by the poolside. Beautiful. But not the places I showed you. They're gone. And so the crowd of people gathered, saints, and Jesus taught them. How many believe that Jesus was probably one of the greatest teachers? He taught them. While Jesus often spoke in synagogues or homes, he also taught groups of people on hillsides, especially the shore and the Sea of Galilee. Look at this in Matthew 5:1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Praise God. Praise God. After Jesus would minister maybe that whole day, he would get solitude. He would go up to a mountain and pray. Did you know that he was always communed with his Father? We need to have that relationship with God. If you don't have a prayer life, you better get one now. If you don't have devotional time, you better get one now. I'll tell you what blessed my heart. 2 years ago when my daughter Sophia, her husband Ryan, and my 4 grandchildren came, and we put air mattresses everywhere. They were sleeping with us and everything. When 9:00 rolled around, all of them, I was sitting in my, me and Yolanda were back there, I was sitting in my office, but they came in the kitchen, and they all had devotional time. Ryan played a song on his guitar, and then they all had turns. They went turns, and they read a couple of scriptures, and he would ask them all, "What does this mean to you? What does this mean to you?" They had a little time of God before they went to bed. It's called devotional time. And they do that every night. Every day. That's why her kids are not troublemakers. They love God. All they know is the love of God the father that loves them, a mother that nurtures them. That's what our kids want to see. They want to know that they're loved. That you would sow into their life. That you would build up their faith. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see all the things of the world. If you've been delivered out of the world, now show them the love of God now. Can I get an amen? Show them the grace of God. Show them what God could do to a life that once was in bondage, that was sold out to sin, and now you're sold out to Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Are we sold out to Christ? Woo! That's what our kids need to see. That's what our family needs to see. Can I get an amen? They need to see that you're sold out. They need to see that Jesus is high and lifted up in your house, in your home. They have to see that. And so let's move on to verse 14. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and he followed him. Levi also called Matthew, and later he was the author in the Gospel of Matthew. And he was a Jew who worked for the Romans, specifically for Herod Antipas, as the area's tax collector. Let me just say this. If you were a tax collector back then, you were hated. You know why? Because nobody audited them. Oh, but they were there to pick up funds from you. They would just show you, this is what you owe, and you had to pay. Or they would imprison you. So tax collectors were hated. It was like a bad IRS company. They were hated. And so, let's look at this. The call of Jesus is personal and direct. Remember, he said, "Follow me." He came personally to say, "Follow me." So Jesus calls Levi by name, indicating that his call to follow him is personal. We have to make this personal, that relationship with the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because we too are called individually by Christ to follow him. He didn't call you just to save you. He called you to do something while you're still here. Can I get an amen? Oh yeah, salvation and the joy of the Lord, that's just a benefit that comes with it. But there's an assignment to your life. I need you to understand that. He has assigned your life for purpose, and that is to bring hope to a dying world. To raise up somebody. To share and to testify what God has done in your life, so that others will have hope that they too can come into a covenant relationship with God. Can I get an amen? And so this is what Jesus demanded. He demanded, when he said, "Follow me," this is what he demanded: immediate obedience. Nowhere do you find in Scripture, "Man, I'm a tax collector. I got so much to do. Go ahead, I'll catch up with you." He just started following Jesus. "I'm going to obey this man. He's got authority." Levi's response to Jesus' call is immediate. This teaches us the importance of responding promptly to God's call in our lives. Listen, God doesn't want us to kick things down the road. You know, kicking the can. "Oh, I'll do this tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I'll go pray with that person tomorrow." Yeah, just kicking the can. God is looking for us every day to do something for him. Something miraculous. Just serve him. Know this, your life has purpose. Can I get an amen? We are now supernatural beings because we've been born again. We got the Spirit of God living in us. We are different from the world. Doesn't make us puffed up. I'm better than you. No. It should make us more humble. Knowing that God chose us, no good folks, to be a child of the Most High God. You know that we've been privileged. And there was nothing that you and I could do to make him love you any more than how he loves you already. But there was an immediate obedience. And then, when he said, follow me, that means leaving the old life behind. Can I get an amen? Listen, if he's delivered you out of a gang lifestyle, or the streets, or homelessness, or things like that, when you come to Christ, man, you should look different now. Can I get an amen?
That's right.
You should look different, dress different, get your cleaned up. Listen, you're not impressing nobody, but you know what? You want to show the world, look what God has done for me. I used to be that. I used to be this. But now I'm that because of him. Can I get an amen? I don't understand. There's some people that get saved, you know, came out of a gangster line. They still look like gangsters. They still wear gangster stuff. Oh, come on. That was the old you. Leave that world behind. Can I get an amen? All things have passed away. All things now have become new. And if you're new in Christ, guess what? Now, man, I want to shed that stuff off me. Oh, yeah. Sister Tammy can remember the time back in the day when her and her friends used to come and score off us, and we was dressed like gangsters. Pendletons. What up? She remembers. They've come knocking at the door. 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah. And we were still up. Never went to sleep. That life is gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
That life is gone. That was buried in the water of baptism. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You come out in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The only thing that I feel bad for folks, and there's grace in that, is in their BC years, they got all tattooed out. You can't change that no more. It's embedded now. But you could say, I was delivered from this. I remember I went to a Christian outreach. It was awesome. There were some guest speakers there, a lot of people. Then there were people that worked the altar. And when you got a lot of people at the altar, it gets a little warm. So there's one altar worker, and you could tell he was lifting. You could tell he was really thick. He had to take off his coat because, you know, it was hot. And man, the guy was tattooed out. He was tattooed out, but he loved Jesus. That was his BC years. And now God has done a new thing. Can I get an amen? But he wasn't dressed like he used to be. He was dressed nice. We got to leave some things behind. Can I get an amen? Levi leaves his tax booth, symbolizing departure from his old life. Following Jesus often requires us to leave behind our past and embrace a new identity in Christ. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Inclusivity of Jesus' call. Jesus calls a tax collector someone marginalized and despised, showing that his call is for everyone, regardless of their past or social status. Listen, he went through the highways and the byways to find us. Can I get an amen? He went through the back alleys. He went to Nasty City. Oh, excuse me. National City. Well, the Bible says, what good thing could come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was like a hardcore town. Can I get anybody? I'm just going to say it was a hardcore town. Because there was a lot of cities back in the day that I used to roll, especially the late 70s, early 80s. There was gangsters everywhere. And they would shoot you in a heartbeat. And so, but there's purpose when he said, follow me. Why? Because there's transformation and purpose. Levi's transformation from a tax collector to an apostle demonstrates the transformative power of Jesus, his call, and the new purpose he gives for our lives. Can I get amen? My heart was melted last week. I only had but 10 minutes because we were going to a church service. But I turned on YouTube and I saw Brother Martin bringing it. My heart was just like, man, I know his testimony. I know what he came from. And look at him. He's preaching the word now. That's why your friend was bawling back there. He was bawling because he was looking at, well, could this really be? God was working on him. God was seeing something that was transformed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah, you come on. You can give him a shout of praise. Woo. God was working on the kid. He was like, he probably had to do one of these. And God was telling him, behold. 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 Look what I've done in his life. And look what he can do in his life now. Can I get an amen? He probably rode with you back in the day. Yeah. He knew the old Marty. Praise God. And now he's just, behold, look at this new Marty. Thank you, God. This is what I love about Jesus. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Can I get an amen? He does it to trip folks up, especially the ones that think they got it all. This is one brother that led worship for us just for a little time. But we called him Brother Know-It-All. You couldn't say nothing. He knew it all. You couldn't share anything. I know. Brother Know-It-All. Folks like that are tough to even have a conversation with because they know it all. Oh, you don't know anyone like that in your life? Keep living. They'll pop up. They'll show up. Let's move on to verse 15. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they what? They followed him. Thank you, God. Levi responded, saints, as Jesus would want all of his followers to do. He followed his Lord immediately, and he called his friends together to meet him too. He goes, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy. Listen, this guy might have had all the money in the world, but I bet he was a lonely guy. You know, you could have the riches of the world and be lonely. Can I get amen? Just like you see a homeless that's lonely, there's people with wealth, and they're lonely. No different. Why? Because there's nothing in this world that will satisfy that hunger for God. God put that in us, the hunger for him. And the Bible says, those who seek after righteousness shall be filled. So let's look at this. Jesus is inclusive love. Jesus is willingness to dine with tax collectors and sinners demonstrates his inclusive love and mission to reach the lost. Jesus wasn't just there to sit with them. He wanted to reach them. And we are called to extend love and grace to those society may marginalize. Oh, that's right. Let me ask you this. You ever been in a mall, maybe on the street, maybe someone next to you, down the street from you, and there was maybe some hardcore looking folks? Most people, I'm just going to stay away from them. Did you know that's a great opportunity to walk up to them and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, what he did for me, and what he can do for you. But you got to come with spiritual boldness. You got to come not with humility and not have any fear, and have faith that God is going to do something here. Well, that's right. Because God will do the miraculous in your life. God will part the Red Sea. Can I get an amen? How many of you need some Red Seas parted? We all do, huh? Well, that's why the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. It may not look good, but there's purpose. There's purpose. He also came to do this, breaking social barriers. Jesus challenges social norms by association with those deemed unworthy. These tax collectors were the scum of the earth. Because all they wanted to do was take their money. They were ostracized. They probably had rocks thrown from them from afar. As followers of Christ, saints, we should be willing to break social barriers to share the gospel. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we start out with our family, but now step out of that. Go further. One of the things that Sister Jessica loves to do is she likes to feed the homeless. That's right. They're homeless. They have no place to go. The message I was going to show, the video with Pastor John Kilpatrick, he talked about that subject. He says, why are they homeless? Why is there so much homelessness? Why in our cities now there's so many homeless people everywhere? You know, back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, there was no homelessness. God is showing us that he's starting to vomit the people from the land because of the shed blood. This is a curse that's coming on our nation. And it is right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. It's a curse on the land because of the shed blood. There's thousands now homeless. Why? God is showing us something. We need to take heed in the time that we live in. He made this call for the call to repentance. Jesus' presence among sinners is not an endorsement of sin, but a call to repentance and transformation. When repentance takes place, then God will do the transformation. Amen? See, some people want to transform themselves without God. That only goes so far. Then you suffer what's called burnout. You don't see them in church no more. Why? Because they came in with their own strength. They came in with their own wisdom, their own understanding. Oh, I could do this. If I handled the world, I could handle this church life. And they come in for a while. And then they get burned out. Why? Because they have no relationship with God. We should encourage others to turn to Christ for forgiveness and the new life. Amen? And then he also came for what? Community and fellowship. Deacon, one of the first things he said this morning, man, I'm so glad to be here this morning when you came for prayer. I miss fellowship. I miss being with the saints. I miss. Listen, you should always want to be around the saints, all of us. Be around like-mindedness. Can I get amen? You know why? Because we have what's called the Koinonia spirit. We have things in common. We could talk about spiritual things, about the love of God, the grace of God. We could talk. There's no endlessness on the things of Christ. But you can't have this conversation with someone that don't know the Lord. And like whatever you say, it drops to the floor. Huh?
What can I do for you?
Yeah. It's like you can't talk about God's love and His grace and what He's done. You can't talk about Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. You can't talk about Samuel. You can't talk about David. You can't talk about none of the characters in the Bible because they don't even know that. They have no clue. And then they'll turn away from you like, man, he's one of those religious characters. Always got to talk about. Yeah. Always talking about religion. Really? I'm sorry, that's all I got for you. Because I got nothing else for you no more. I'm not going to speak your language because it's gone. And you notice? You know when you're around someone that don't know Christ, it's their language. Bleepity bleepity bleep. Bleep bleep. Oh, come on. They don't know God. Look at this. Gathering at Levi's house illustrates the importance of community and fellowship in the Christian life. We should seek to build relationships that foster spiritual growth and support. We need each other.
Yes, we do.
My job as a pastor is to build your life through the Word.
Amen.
To raise you up in the Word of God so that when you leave, whatever has been sown in your hearts, I know without a shadow of a doubt, it won't come back void. God will bring it to your remembrance scriptures that, I don't know, maybe I didn't write down this scripture. But it's already embedded in your soul. And God will bring it up when you need it. Because His Word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you, God. And then we look at following Jesus' example. As disciples, we are to follow Jesus' example and reaching out to those who are lost, offering them hope and the message of salvation. Can I get amen? And so he held a dinner for his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners so that they could meet Jesus. Levi invited all these characters. Man, he probably invited people that had rap sheets. You know what a rap sheet is? Huh? Been in and out of institutions, got a rap sheet that long. Some people, all they need is one more strike. And they're put in prison forever. Yeah, they already got two strikes. One more, they're done. They no longer could come back into society. But that's the people that Levi brought. He brought them. Why? Because he knew that there was hope for them. You need to bring family and friends here because there's hope here. We're going to preach hope to them. Can I get an amen? We're going to preach hope to them. We're not going to lie to them. We're not going to give them fairy tales. We're not going to tiptoe through the tulips like Tiny Tim. Remember him? Tiny Tim who played that little tiny ukulele?
Yeah.
His famous song was Tiptoe Through the Tulips. My grandmother loved him. Made her feel good. In Levi's house, remember, Levi invited him to his house. There gathered a crowd that Jesus could not reach in the synagogues. And so, the only ones that went into the synagogues were the dignified ones. They come in all dignified. But if you came in there looking like, you didn't belong, they let you know. I was sharing this the other night. There are some churches, some sisters go in there with pants on, and they do this. That person needs to get saved. That person needs to get saved. They already judged you coming in with pants. Those are religious folks. Can I get an amen? Been there, done that. I've been there, done that. Listen, we're charismatic here. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues. I do all that. But we're not charismania. We're charismatic.
That's right.
We believe in the fivefold ministry. We believe that God has called the fivefold ministry to the church. Can I get an amen?
Jesus.
And we've seen God do so many wonderful things.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. See, the tax collectors, they were excommunicated. The term sinners referred to the common people who were not learned in the law and did not abide by the rigid standards of the Pharisees. There were so many Pharisees there in the synagogue. That's why Levi said, we're going to avoid that. Come out to the hood. Come out where I live. I'm going to bring all kinds of folks that need to hear you. The Pharisees regarded these people as wicked and opposed to the will of God because they did not observe the rituals of purity which enabled them to eat with others. They were so nitpicky. You had to look a certain way, dress a certain way, speak a certain way, or you couldn't enter into their synagogues. Things haven't changed in 2,000 years. Jesus, help us. These people, saints of God, gathered at Levi's house where they knew they had a welcome there and that Jesus was there to welcome them. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what God wants to do. Let's move on to verse 16. We got two verses to break down. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? This was beguiling them. They were just so stressed out. How could this be? And he says that he is God, that he is the Son of God. Wow. That's what a religious mind will do. Do you know there's people that will prejudge you? They already made up their mind about they think who you are or what you do. Can I get an amen? And don't even know where you came from. Don't even know that God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Don't even know that God is using you. But they look at you and they go, They prejudged you. So many of the teachers back then were also Pharisees. Pharisees, a strict religious group of the Jews, who also advocated minute obedience to the Jewish laws and traditions. In other words, you gotta line up now. It was militant. Yes, Rabbi. Yes, Rabbi. Yes, Rabbi. I remember we were in fellowship at Temple Beth Shalom. And Brother Angel said, hey, Michael, he rebuked Angel. I'm Rabbi to you. Remember that, brother? His name was Michael Samuel. And you could say, hey, Michael, how you doing? You know, just trying to be friends with him. I'm Rabbi to you. Yeah, my congregants don't call me Michael. It's Rabbi. Wow. Yeah, that's a Pharisee. That's a Pharisee, man. You know, he could have embraced you and said, yeah. Hey, you know what? You could call me that when we're together, but my congregants call me rabbi, so you know. No, he rebuked you. It was a rebuke. Wow. The job was to teach the scriptures and the law and to protect them against anyone's willful defiance. They saw themselves as righteous and everyone else as sinners. That's what the religious folks saw. And when Jesus sat down to a meal with them, the Pharisees looked at it that he was sitting down with scum. So we have to understand this. We have to understanding Jesus' mission. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Can I get amen? Which includes those marginalized by society. His association with sinners demonstrates his mission to bring redemption to all. All. Rich, poor, black, white, Republican, Democrat. I don't care what you call yourself. He came for us all. Can I get amen?
Thank you, Lord.
He came for those in the corporate world. He came for those who are living in a back alley.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can I get amen? It don't matter. He came for us all. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God.
Amen.
And so, he challenged. Look at this. He came to... It was challenging religious legalism. That's why he came to sit with Levi in his home. To challenge those religious leaders. The Pharisees' focus on legalism blinded them to the heart of God's law, which is mercy and compassion. God is mercy. How many believe that he's mercy? Turn to your neighbor and say, God's been merciful to you. Listen, none of us in here deserve this great salvation. Can I get an amen? He was merciful. Look at the things that we used to do. Man, there's some things I would not speak over this pulpit of what he delivered me from. You only know a quarter of it. Some things I will not share over this pulpit. But God didn't take it from my memory because he wants to always... Let me remember what he's delivered me from. And to be thankful. Thankful. Believers are called to prioritize love and grace over rigid adherence to tradition. You go to some churches, it's about the do's and don'ts. If you meet these, then... we won't judge you. But if you can't meet these, we will judge you. Wow. Me and Pastor Art, by the way, pray for him, man. He has a whole big giant workload. He would be here if it wasn't for the workload. He texts me. He goes, I got to go finish it. He's there finishing a job. He was on the job 11 hours yesterday. Pray for him that God will, you know, will strengthen him. But him and I came from a church that would judge you. They'll judge you. They'll judge you quick. Look at this. Jesus, he embraced the outcast. Can I get an amen? Uh-oh, someone stole a car. See, it's not a family member that's that sounds like one of those alerts. Embracing the outcast. Look at that. Jesus' example teaches us to reach out to those whom society often rejects. We are called to be agents of grace and acceptance, reflecting Christ's love. Can I get amen? We have to be that mirror of Christ to them. Listen, how many times? Let me ask you this question. How many people that have you invited to church And they'll say, yeah, you know what? I may be there Sunday. And they're not here. Oh, I might come out Wednesday. You guys got sir? They're not here. But when they need something dearly, they'll call you. Can I get an amen? This is where they may not come to church, but the only Jesus they're going to see is your life. You got to show them the love of God. Because when they see Jesus operating in your life, you don't get angry. You don't, what up? You're patient. They're going to see Jesus. And they'll probably even let you pray for them. And that's going to open the door to soften their heart to come a little closer to Christ. Can I get amen? He also came. Self-reflection on sin. Recognizing our own sinfulness helps us to understand our need for Jesus and prevents us from judging others harshly. Here's that old saying. Oh, man, look at you, man. You know, look at you, man. Look, I'm pointing, look at you. And there's three looking right back at me. Well, we're good at that. Be careful. Recognizing our own sinfulness helps us understand our need for Jesus, and it prevents us from judging others harshly. If God has saved you, be thankful. Be a thankful person. And now go share the love of God, that God can save you too. And God can deliver you. God can help you. Let's move on to verse 17. This is our last scripture here. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is where I got the message this morning. This is why God said, you're not going to show that video. You need to preach on Jesus came for the sick. Because there's people watching right now. And they may know someone that's sick, or maybe they're sick. Maybe you're sick. And God can deliver you. God can heal you. God can help you. Invite them into your heart. Thank you, God. The question apparently made its way to Jesus' ears. And Jesus had an answer for the self-righteous, influential religious leaders. The first part, saints of God, of Jesus' answers was from a common proverb on the healthy and the sick. People who are well don't seek out a physician, but the physician's waiting room is filled with people who are sick. How many have been to urgent care before? And it's like, take a number, sit down. We'll see you in 2 hours. Let's look at this right here. The role of spiritual healing. Just as a doctor is needed for the sick, Jesus is a spiritual healer for those who recognize their need for salvation. This highlights the importance of acknowledging our spiritual brokenness. How many can recall that when before you came to Jesus, you was toe up from the flow up? I had a conversation with my brother here. We graduated the same year, I think 77. He didn't hang out with the guys I hung out with. He was good, moral, grew up. God blessed his life. Stayed away from trouble. I look back, I go, man, I wish that would have happened to me. I'd be a little further along. But God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. And then later on, Jesus came into your life more powerfully. Isn't that something? See, God has no favoritism. God has no pets. You know how in families, there are one or two that, or one is favored than the others, and they get everything they want? But with God, there's no favorites with Him. He loves us all equally. Can I get amen? He'll do for you what he's done for me, and what He's done for me, He'll do for you. You got to believe God for that. Amen? Humility and self-reflection. Look at this. The passage challenges us to examine our own hearts, recognize our need for Jesus, rather than assuming self-righteousness or superiority over others. In other words, don't think that we're better than anybody. No. We've been shown grace and mercy. And that same grace and mercy should be demonstrated to others from us. Can I get amen? That's right. And it's mercy over sacrifice. Jesus' actions emphasize the importance of mercy and compassion over ritualistic adherence to religious practices. This calls us to prioritize love and grace in our interactions with others. Can I get an amen? And so, his final point on this, on these verses of scriptures, 13 through 17, is the call to repentance. The call to repentance. Let me ask those right now who are watching online. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe God wants to do something miraculous in your life. All you got to do is cry out to the Most High. You got to say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't care what you've done in your life. You could have done so many horrific things that you are so ashamed of even sharing with anybody. And you've probably held that in. Jesus said, give it all to me. I'll give you a brand new life. I'll give you a brand new mind. I'll give you a brand new path. I will do things that you can't do for yourself. Only I can open up doors to have you walk in. Saints of God, we are to walk every day with a continual repentant heart before Him. Never let us grow weary in well-doing. Always know that God is with us through the good times and through the bad times, through harsh times, through financial times. Right now, things are so inflated, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I couldn't believe. How many know where Super Sergio is right there on Sweetwater Road? I went in there just to grab a quick burrito for Yolanda and I. We're in that area. I walked in and I looked on the board. Every burrito was $16.99. What?
That's just a burrito.
Yeah. And remember some people like carne asada fries? $19. These things used to be $3-4. But let me just say this. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. I don't care who's in office. It's not going to get any better. We're living in those times. And so, if you never received the Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask those who are watching, maybe those who are here, to bow your heart and your head and to pray. And invite Jesus to come in. Watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head. I'm going to have the Amazing Grace family pray with me to pray for you. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me from all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.